You're listening to Wake Up Australia on 2GB, thanks to Care Alert, the smart dialer for under $300 and no monitoring fees ever.
Now, I got a copy of a book called When There Are Too Many Lawyers, There Is No Justice, written by Alan Manley. It's an extraordinary story. It's a true Australian story. And for privacy reasons, as I guess you'll understand over the next few minutes, some names have been changed in the book, probably to protect the innocent or the not-so-innocent. What appeared to be a straightforward dispute over a bill for $115 turned into a legal marathon that dragged on for 10 years. Can you believe it? Let's find out all about it. Alan Manley is on the line. G'day, Alan.
G'day, Luke.
Nice to talk to you, mate. Now, before we get into the nuts and bolts of what is an amazing story, a little bit about you. You dropped out in year 9, as I understand it. You worked as a postman. You became an apprentice television repairman. And did I read somewhere where you have a disorder, compulsive disorder? Is that right?
People accuse me of that. That's right.
They accuse you of that.
That's right.
How dare they?
I've never sought medical proof of it.
No.
I just let it out in the public area there.
But you are doggedly determined, aren't you, for justice? And that's a lot about what this yarn's about. Can you go back to the start and give us an idea of what happened?
Like many people, Luke, I volunteered to be a director of a not-for-profit organisation, basically a breakfast club for the IT industry. You alluded there that I used to repair TVs when I was much younger. I later repaired computers and then started marketing such things. Mm. So I had a bit of a career there. A breakfast club where vendor representatives in the computer industry would come and give their pitch, maybe even have debates. And what could go wrong? It was a lot of networking. It was a bit of fun. And I knew a little bit about it. And in that environment, we found a person who volunteered to help us, basically to do the odd jobs and to do a little recruiting for members and that sort of thing.
Yep.
Like similar events, I'm sure many of you...
Yeah, they happen all around the place.
Happens every second Wednesday. You know, there's a lunch or a breakfast or something somewhere. Someone's organising that. And we were one of those pretty much nondescript individuals until someone came along and offered us their services, which we took them because it was just another fellow friendly volunteer. And then they asked, as the book alludes to, for a mere $115 of out-of-pocket expenses, to which we were reluctant, to be honest. We thought, why should we have to pay this? Wasn't well explained, perhaps. All those things. How could you possibly worry about $115? So,
well, you're all volunteers. I guess you're entitled to think that, you know, we all do our little bit, and sometimes there's a few bucks here and a few bucks there that we part with of our own cash, but the bigger prize is we're doing something to help a whole lot of people.
Yeah, we're getting a bit of fun out of it.
Yeah.
Anyway, I being the wimp of the crowd, I said, well, look, we'll pay this guy and just send him on his way. You know, he's not perhaps the volunteer we need.
So you weren't the initial person to blow up. You were prepared to just spend $115 and get rid of it.
Exactly.
Right.
I was the wimp. The others were a bit more gung-ho than me.
Right.
And I said, no, $115, let's move on. And I'm sure many of your listeners would feel that way.
Yep.
And how big a fight do you want to make? Well, we wrote the check and he tore it up in our face and said, it's a bigger issue. We thought, really? How could it be a bigger issue? This is... And we then found that he had proceeded to sue us for breach of contract.
Oh, wow.
Which was a verbal contract, Luke.
Yeah.
That, we weren't too sure we'd even made it. But, you know how it is. It's a breakfast club. It's not, hasn't got locked every 5 minutes. And
when you saw this reaction, the tearing up of the check and the intent to take it further, did you turn from wimp to lion?
I don't think I was ever a lion. I think I was just tenacious.
Right.
I, as I say in the book, I was more like a trap rat. I, at no point was I would say one person, I've been asked similar questions, was I heroic? No, a hero is a person who volunteers to take risk. I was trapped.
Right.
I didn't volunteer at all. I was the reluctant accessory to this. But when, of course, it starts, I then found it was a quagmire and I couldn't get out.
Right.
And the frustration in the book that you see with the title of When There Are Too Many Lawyers.
Yeah.
Funny, I found that quote. And I concluded we'd go to court and we'd say, look, preposterous. We'd employ lawyers. We had barristers, lawyers, all good stuff for the middle-class Australian family to waste their money on.
And who was paying for this?
Basically my company. Oh, yeah, it was tacky board meetings.
At some point, even when he ripped up the check, did you think, oh, please, let's just make this go away? Or was he the sort of individual that was never going to accept a fair answer?
I cannot claim I had any real cognitive smarts at that day. I was just dumbfounded and confused.
Mm.
And that there was no, even in hindsight, I can never claim that I was really astute in all this. I think simply, like so many people thought, if it went to court, we'd get a fair hearing. This was ridiculous. Lawyers told us it was ridiculous. It'll be thrown out, they said. And the frustration built up over 10 years. Nothing was ever thrown out. It could be the most messy case. It could be verbally done from the bar in court there where he'd waffle on. Oh, well, that's an idea, you know. And he would constantly say, oh, I didn't get the delivery of the letter on time. The document serving wasn't done properly. And it was done by lawyers. We were paying a fortune. We had barristers. The court would say, well, look, you know, maybe there's a bit of confusion here. Why don't we all meet and we'll have an adjournment another 2 or 3 months and we'd pay another $3,000 or $4,000
oh,
for barristers.
Dear.
And why don't we have another thought? Oh, good, guys. Is there any thought of maybe a conclusion? And when we'd finally, though I'm sure you've heard this sort of story, we figured we've got him absolutely nailed. There's no doubt that this must go our way. This has got to be thrown out.
Mm.
Oh, he'd get to appeal. Oh, well, gee, if you want to appeal, they'd say, oh, that's a good thing to do. Why don't we all have an appeal? Oh, great idea. Then the appeal would go. Oh, well, he'd like to appeal that. And you gather in the book there that he's over the 10 and a little bit years, 10 plus years, he initiated 30 litigations against us. And in that time, of course, we'd done the journey from the local court in North Sydney to the High Court of Australia.
I'm sorry to laugh, but again, let's remind our listeners, this began with a $115 claim for expenses, and you were prepared on the day to write a cheque. The person got the cheque and ripped it up. You still got the cheque?
Luke, I have the cheque. Don't fall for this claim that I'm an obsessive in any way. I keep everything. That cheque is in a plastic envelope.
Ah, there you go. But you see, the thing is that we all like to think, having not been in your position, that at some point in the law there is this thing called the court of common sense where someone says, you know, hang on. Now, hang on. Let's just remember what we're talking about here. It's $115 contested. Let's not drive this for the next 20 years. Doesn't someone at some point say that, say we avoid the trap that you fell into?
I didn't notice. That's why I did write the book that in one of the chapters there I mentioned that when you walk into court, you see a bit of Latin on top of the mantle at the top there. And I concluded in the end, didn't matter what letters they put up there, it always meant never lose a customer. Once they come in, get them coming. It makes David Jones and Myers look like wimps.
So what they do is, I mean, the short form of all of this is that the system itself generates or regenerates income for itself, and you saw that develop over 10 years, obviously.
I saw that over 10 years. They never lose a customer. Doesn't matter how bad it is, you'd be told, oh, the court wouldn't accept that. It's preposterous. Yeah, the courts will stamp anything. It's all. Then you have to pay someone, da-da-da-da, and they're all. Every judge used to be a lawyer.
Yeah.
Price.
Yeah.
And you still start to become, after 10 years, I think I was justified in being reasonably cynical about all this.
I would understand that. I think most people would forgive you for thinking like that. But surely at the end of the whole exercise, someone says to you, all right, smarty, you've written this great book. Everyone loves it. What would you do different? So what needs to happen, do you think?
Really good question. I think there has to be where the victim is actually given some rights. The perpetrator of this was always the aggressor, and we were the wimps going, oh, well, you know, we didn't really, you know, we were constantly being asked to pay more, do more, whatever. We became the victim. Mm. He was aggressing us. He was suing us, 30-something cases where he sued us. And the courts just took total disinterest in this should stop. They didn't see that. And I see in the media where you feel that the aggressor, the sometimes called the criminal, will be given another chance on another chance on another chance. Mm. Sooner or later, I think there has to be a cultural shift.
So they
have to man up and say, you are guilty, and it stops.
Yeah, 100%. Look, have a look at this. It's terrific. It's called When There Are Too Many Lawyers, There Is No Justice. And there is a website, whentherearetoomanylawyers.com. You can go there and check it out. Fascinating read, Alan. Thank you so much for your time, mate.
Thank you, Luke. Thanks very much.